Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
And we're coming to you live from the Bill Ford Tough Studio. Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. It's Boomer and Geo on the fans, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network and wherever you are on the free Odyssey app. Good Wednesday morning. Still in the middle of this heat wave and still in the middle of this losing stretch here with the Mets and Yankees. And yes, every single day that we start the show, I feel like we're talking about how these teams are bad and how they're losing and how I'm trying to put somewhat of a reasonable positive spin on it, because after last year, I told myself I was not going to go nuts in the peaks and the valleys after watching the Mets get off to such a miserable start, being one of the worst teams in the league to start the year. Gary Cohen himself saying rock bottom, and that team went all the way to game six of the NLCS. But right now it's just uglier and uglier. And here's a reason, another reason why I'm inching more towards like DEFCON 3 with the Mets, is they're finding all sorts of different ways to lose. So last night I'm thinking Frankie Montas is going to get his doors blown off. He doesn't. He gives you five scoreless innings somehow, after having a 14 ERA in the minors, and they get out to a lead. The crowd's happy. Everything's going well. They're going to win the game. Nope. Here comes the bullpen. Kaboom. Done. Yankees, another situation where they can't win an extra inning game. Jazz Chisholm gets thrown out. It's just weird right now, man. It's weird and bad news with Sean Manaea as well. I wanted to come back here and have a positive day with you today, Boomer. We'll find a way to do it. And we got the NBA draft with the Knicks not having a coach, which is great, too. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing all right, G. And I understand your frustration. I was certainly frustrated, but and we can talk about the pitching all we want. I still say, and I know most Met fans are sick and tired of watching guys in the fifth through ninth order in the batting order.
Yeah.
Okay, I know that. But when you look back at last night's game and you look back at a lot of these games that the Mets have lost, the first four guys in the order have done nothing. And maybe, you know, Juan Soto gets on base here or there. Maybe
Juan Soto's in a great June.
But the problem is that the guys around him are not.
Indeed, terrible.
And so he's not having an opportunity to drive in a lot of runs. He's scoring a lot of runs, as Keith Hernandez said last night. But the fact of the matter is, if your first four guys are going to have one hit in like, I think 11 or 10 strikeouts between them and not get on base and not set the table, then your bottom five guys who ended up knocking in runs last night, that's the frustrating part. I mean, that's, to me, you want your offense to be better than it is, more consistent than it is. And for the last, well, since they started with the Tampa Bay Rays, all the way through where we are right now, losing five straight games to the Atlanta Braves. Like, the Atlanta Braves are in their kitchen, man. They are in their kitchen. You can say whatever you want. You can say they're up there or they're in their kitchen. I'm going to say they're in their kitchen. And it's amazing how the Braves, who were just middling, get to the Mets, and all of a sudden they change and they become the team that gets the key hit, the team that gets the better pitching, the team that seems to play the field better, the manager makes the better decisions. I mean, it's just incredible what has gone on between these two teams this year. But it's not just this year. Like, we've seen this before between these two teams. And that's the thing that is really frustrating. Get out to a lead, build on that lead. You get a surprise positive performance from Frankie Montas. And then all of a sudden, all hell breaks loose and you can't fight back. The offense in the last couple of innings after they had lost the lead was just like, all right, whatever. And it's not all right.
Yeah, and this is what this stretch of losing here, this 10 out of 11 has been, is when things start to go wrong, they never go back right. Whereas the Mets we were seeing in April and May, even when they face some adversity, they would battle back. The Mets we saw last year would battle back. Now it's, you get down 3-0, okay, Now you're not going to come back 3-2 like the day before. You get up 3-0, they tie the game, they take the lead, you're not coming back, it's done. It's just, it's now like built into their psyche that they're somehow going to lose these games when they showed up to Citi Field in the first 2 months of the season expecting to win every game, and they almost did.
Right, and I always think like Major League Baseball set the Mets up to get off to a great start, because if you remember, we were talking about who they were playing early on in the season.
Yeah.
And they were not playing a lot of the great teams, or you know, teams that were ultimately going to have losing records this year. And then this was the stretch of the schedule that was going to tell us a lot about who they were and whether or not they were going to be able to compete within their own division. And quite frankly, even though they did win a game in Philadelphia, Philadelphia hammered their pitching all over the place. So the Mets are in dire straits right now. It's June, and I would just say that you know I don't know really what Carlos Mendoza can do. I'm not really sure you know what a manager can do in this spot unless he's tinkering with the lineup a little bit here or there. But he is dealing with a mangled pitching staff. He's dealing with a kind of a, I don't want to say lazy. The lazy is not the word. A top of the order that's really not doing much with the exception of Juan Soto right now. And then you gotta believe sooner or later, they're all going to be hitting together and maybe take some of the pressure off of this pitching staff. But the pitching staff pitched well against subpar teams, and now they're in the midst of June baseball. They're playing teams within their division, and lo and behold, their division is just absolutely destroying them. At least two of the teams are.
Yeah, I mean, well, they had the Phillies number early on this season. Yes, they did lose 2 out of 3 this last series, but it's been the Braves now. I mean, it's been the Braves for 5 in a row. I mean, and this team, and they're still, after losing 5 in a row to the Braves, they're still, what, 7-8 games up on them? 8 games up on them?
Which is amazing.
After losing 5 in a row, that's how dead and buried they were until the Mets decided to give them some smelling salts. And I don't know if the Braves are going to continue this and be a playoff team, probably, because that's what they are. I mean, but to be, what, 21 games over 500, now sitting here at 12, I mean, if you told me beginning of the season they'd be game and a half out of first and 12 games over 500 at this juncture, June 25th, I'd say, okay, that's not bad. It's pretty good.
Yeah, but
the way that this has happened, they are trending in the wrong direction. And this is the one, if you want to make a criticism of the way that David Stearns has gone with the pitching, which I'm not ready to do yet because the pitching lab has been way more good than bad, is that those who said House of Cards it's looking right now, because when guys start going down, all of a sudden it's like you're counting on tomato cans every night. Yeah. Like, who is the guy now? So Sean Manaea, who was your horse last year, has a setback. Haven't seen him this year. Not going to see him for longer. Kodai Senga, who was leading the league in ERA, he's out. So when these guys start getting hurt, and now you're like, you're trusting, you know, Paul Blackburn and Montas gave you something last night, but now trusting him and some of these other guys, Griffin Canning's going off a cliff. It's like, how does it stop if the offense is being this putrid?
Well, and you know, you throw a Dickie Lovelady out there.
That's right.
I mean, you know, things are gonna start. You know, it's going to be a long summer if things don't get better in a hurry, especially in that starting rotation. But also, like again, we talk about this before every season. How many pitchers are teams going to use? You remember? Did you make the starting five coming out of spring training? Like, that's a big deal. But, you know, here we are in the middle of June. Is anybody thinking about who the starting five was coming into spring training?
No.
No, of course not. They're thinking about who's going to be pitching the next game and where are we going to find an arm to put in a bullpen. That's basically what's going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it is really, I mean, really frustrating. You know, McGill is on the DL or IL. Manaea on the IL. Senga on the IL. I mean,
and this is just starters. You got Kranick, right, obviously, who's on the IL. In the bullpen as well. So, yeah, I mean, it's not great. David Peterson had an opportunity.
And then you got Manaea. Look, if he's got something floating in his elbow.
Yeah, floating bodies.
You got floating bodies in your elbow. You know what that means. That means he's going to be done for the year.
Oh, no. No, 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 no. Don't do that. Don't do that. You've been
floating bodies in the NFL. I mean, in your elbow,
yeah.
In the NFL. In your elbow. Floating bodies.
Yeah, I've heard floating bodies before. I feel like it's not as severe as you're telling me.
Yeah, put floating bodies. Google floating bodies in your elbow and see what comes up. floating bodies in your elbow, and they're going to have to go in and get out those floating bodies.
Did they say, though?
You want to be throwing 94 miles an hour like a week later?
Yeah, I mean, Mania pitched a lot last year. It was more than he had. Oh, here we go.
Now he pitched a lot last year.
No, he did. And I said it honestly.
Remember, CeCe Sabathia pitched like 150,000 innings.
I said it at the time. I was surprised that with David Stern's thought process on pitchers, that he would take a guy who had one of his best years and pitched more than he ever pitched and bring him back, because that's against his whole thing. And he did, and now he's got floating bodies on
him. Floating bodies in his elbow, I'm telling you. It's no joke.
Floating bodies and elbow. All right, hold on. Let me see what they say.
What kind of body is floating around? Is it a bone chip?
I don't know, man.
What do you mean you don't know?
Well, I mean, I don't know.
I mean, you're sitting here telling me that it's not a big deal.
What I said was I feel like I've heard that before, and it doesn't mean end of the season. Like, when you hear forearm, that means Tommy John. When you hear calf, that means Achilles. When I hear floating bodies, I'm thinking, okay, not a big deal.
Not a big deal.
Do you have an example of a floating body turning into an end of a season?
That's why I told you to Google floating bodies.
Loose bodies in the elbow are fragments of bone or cartilage that have broken off and are freely floating within the joint space.
That's awesome.
These fragments can cause pain, stiffness, clicking, or locking in the elbow.
Yep.
I definitely have floating bodies in my knee now that I hear that. Especially during movement. Treatment options range from conservative measures.
Like
physical therapy to surgical removal.
Well, let me ask you a question. If you do physical therapy and you have floating bodies, are those floating bodies going to reattach themselves? No.
Yeah, I just think it stops the clicking and the whatever. Yeah,
but where do they go? Like, where do the floating bodies go?
What do I look like? Am I Dr. Stephen Nicholas right now? Dr. Eric Freeman right now?
Right. Do you urinate those out just like you would if you had a kidney stone?
Am I Joe G right now? What do you want from me?
Right.
I don't know. So, I mean, it doesn't sound like you think he's going to be out for the year. God.
Floating bodies is not funny, man. Not a good thing.
I think he's going to be funny.
Oh, well, that's just one player, and that's just one player that may have a elongated stay on the injured list. The rest of the team is still, you know, still here and not getting the job done. And I mean, the thing about baseball is, like, I like my team. If my team is a good team, which I think the Mets still are a very good team, I want them to be at least 10 games over 500. Never fall under that.
Okay.
You know, remember they were talking about the Braves earlier in the season. Now they got to fight their way all the way back to 500. And if they played the Mets the rest of the way, they would. But they're still under 500.
Well, yes.
Are they? Yeah, I think they.
Yeah, they are. The Braves are four games under 500.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So they're still under 500. So for me, right now, for the Mets, they have to stay 10 games above 500. They have been, you know, they got off to a great start. Their high water mark was, what, 15 over 500?
The Mets, it was like 21.
21 over 500. All right, so now it's that's the number that I look at. And that would be the number that would really worry me if they get to that point where they start getting under the 10 game bulge that they have over 500.
10 game bulge?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
The 10 game bulge.
I don't know. That was just a word I just had on my mind.
The 10 game bulge. Yeah. I mean, for me, it's also how far you are out of first place is another big thing, because I want to win this NL East really bad. So, all right, I'm gonna reach Anthony DeComo from MLB.com to see if these loose bodies are going to make you feel any better about what's going on.
All right, is he a doctor?
No, but an MRI results, and then David Stearns has a quote here, right? An MRI taken revealed a 7-millimeter loose body.
7-millimeter? That sounds like a big millimeter.
7-millimeter loose body in Mania's left elbow. That's the bad news. The good news is that Mets officials don't anticipate this costing him more than a few additional days on the injured list.
Yeah, okay.
David Stearns says, quote, "Sometimes you can pitch with these loose bodies for your entire career."
Oh, boy.
"I don't think it slows us down too much."
Oh, boy.
And then Mania said, "I don't really have any frame of reference, never dealt with anything like this before."
Oh, boy. There you go. There you go.
And then he also said, "It's not like that serious, I guess. I mean, it is, but it's not like Tommy John or something like that. I don't think surgery's on the table."
So he's going to go conservative, and he's going to go with the rehab through physical therapy. I just like to know where the bodies go, these loose bodies, where they go after physical therapy.
You've got a lot of doctor friends in your life. You can text these men and you could say, hey, loose bodies, what are we dealing with here? You're hammering me with these questions. I don't have the answers.
You're the one who brought it up.
I did not bring it up. I said he had a setback. I said he had a setback, and you were like, what's floating bodies in his elbow, and what's that? And I'm like, I didn't sound that serious.
How can
what
floating bodies in your elbow not be serious?
David Stearns is telling me that you could pitch your entire career with these loose bodies.
David Stearns could be saying that just so, you know, people get off his back.
Well, nobody's on his back.
I don't know. You know,
like, on his back?
I mean, you just said you're worried about the pitching staff and the pitching line, but you weren't ready to kill it just yet.
No, I'm saying those who criticized it, saying it was a house of cards, are crowing right now.
When you say those, who are those?
You have two factions of fans out there. Just like, you know, you get the Yankee fan, the people who can't stand Anthony Volpe, the ones who say that give him a chance, the ones that hate Aaron Boone, the other ones that say he's a good manager. You got the Mets fans that are like, this David Stearns, he's playing with fire with this pitching lab thing, and he's getting these tomato cans out there, and it's not going to happen all the time. You have the other ones, like, in Stearns we trust. This guy, he's done it so many times. I got all these examples. So when I say those, I'm saying the portion of the fan base that we talk to all the time and are in our lives that say you can't win a championship pulling guys like Frankie Montas off the schlub heap and throwing them out there all the time. Those are the ones that are saying, told you. And when Spencer Schwellenbacher and Spencer Strider and these guys are that the Braves have cultivated through their farm system are shutting you down again, you know, that's the problem. And when Dickie Lovelace is what you got to throw at him.
Dickie Lovelace.
And here we are.
I'm telling you.
So there you go. That's what, that's that, those are those people.
Well, you know.
Those people.
Yeah, those people.
If anybody knows, it's those people.
But this is the Mets. Like, I always think, like, if you are, you got to stay away from the 3-game losing streak. We always talk about that. And we always talk about saying, you know, stay, if you go 5-5 in your last 10, you're not going to be moving much, but you're just going to get through the season. You can't go 1-9, 2-8, 3-7 in your last 10. You just can't do that. You got to stay around 500 or better in your last 10. You know what I'm talking about?
I do know exactly.
I know you look at this. I know you look at the standings, and in the standings they have it in their last 10.
Yeah, I've seen that before.
And I'm a big in the last 10 guy.
You are.
I want to look back a little bit because I want to see trending situations for the Mets. And right now, if you look, their last 11 games, they're 1-10. That's last in Major League Baseball. You look at team ERA, 6.11. That's 29th in baseball. Team batting average, .211, 27th in baseball. Runs scored, 34. That's tied for 24th in baseball.
Yeah.
Runs allowed, 72. That's 29th in baseball.
Yeah, it sucks.
That shows you right there just how poorly that they have played over the last 11 games.
Now you want to be
every aspect of the team
stinks.
Every aspect is an absolute funk.
It scared me for a second. You want to be right about these loose bodies, or do you want to be positive about Sean Manaea? Which way do you want to go?
All right. So this is all right. So which part of my Met fandom do you want? No,
well, I'm just saying. I have one of our doctor friends who knows about this reached out to me. Okay.
All right. I'm going to say
do you think this was a positive thing or a negative thing?
I'm going to say that it's a negative. Well, I don't know. He may be positive about it, but I'm just going to be honest and tell you that every time I hear one of these injuries, it seems like it's worse than it initially they put it out there. So I'm going to say Sean Manaea will be out for maybe not the rest of the season, but at least a month.
All right. So it's more negative than I was hoping. This response here from the doctor who's dealt with floating bodies.
Floating bodies.
He said, problem with floating bodies is they can be indicative of underlying instability in the elbow. So it's not simply removal. It's dealing with what led to it. It's potentially more than just a clean out. So now you got me thinking negatively. I came in here. I'm like, it's not a big deal. Stearns told me it wasn't a big deal. Floating bodies. You could pitch your whole career. Now I got you. I got the doctors.
Yeah.
Dr. Freeman.
All right. Well, I'm just telling you. Floating bodies is no joke.
All right. Now I know. I was thinking it was, listen, I listened to David Stearns. He's my baseball Jesus. And he told me it wasn't going to be a problem.
See, here's the baseball. I'm holding a baseball in my hand right now.
Mm-hmm.
And when you throw the baseball,
yeah,
your shoulder, your elbow, your wrist, your fingers, it all works in concert with one another.
I've heard.
And if you got a floating body in your shoulder, it's going to affect your wrist. And it's going to affect your elbow. And it's going to affect your fingers. If you got a floating body in your elbow, it's going to affect your shoulder. It's going to affect your wrist, and it's going to affect your fingers.
Infest your fingers,
whatever. So I'm just telling you that floating bodies is a real deal thing.
Well, okay. I'm now more with you.
These are highly paid professional athletes
mm-hmm.
who, what we have learned, I would say over the last, I want to say conservatively, the last 10 years, from Achilles to elbows to necks, you know, to concussions, to everything else in between. Every single major league team, whatever sport we're talking about, tends to be very, very cautious about their players. Unless those players are in a no-win situation and they got to go out and play, like Tyrese Halliburton, like Kevin Durant, like Jason Tatum. You know, if they have to play in the playoffs, it's a different story. The players will risk it. But if it's in the middle of the season, they're shutting the player down for 2 months.
Yeah, well, they said it will hopefully, I mean, David Stern says it's not going to be 2 months. I'm going to hope that it's not.
Because if they go in there surgically and try to remove these things, which they can do,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you got to give the elbow and you got to give the body a chance to heal.
You got to give the loose bodies a chance to...
No, just get them out of there. To me, I would get them out of there. I'd have them on the operating table today and take them out.
All right, Boomer
and then hopefully maybe he comes back in September.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
I'm glad to actually see you here. I know you played at Willie Colon's golf tournament on Monday. How hot was it on Monday?
No, I mean, it was the hottest, and this is not an exaggeration. It's the hottest I've ever been in my life because there was no escape for 5 hours. So there was no wind. We weren't near the water. The clubhouse there, because there's two golf courses, is far away. So there's no like going into the clubhouse after nine. So the halfway houses there are not air conditioned. So it was 5 hours of a long outing of being stuck in a sauna you couldn't get out of.
No, I played on Monday and Tuesday up in Nashua, New Hampshire at Sky Meadow at the DCU golf outing, which I've been with them for 22 years. They have raised over $7 million for our foundation. Wow. What an incredible foundation they are. So I just want to say thank you to them. And it goes all the way back to when I started on WEEI, and their initial CEO used to listen to me. And he heard the story about Gunnar and everything else and wanted to help. The next CEO took over, kept it going. Now we're on the third CEO. She's kept it going.
Wow.
And it's been an amazing, amazing just kind of run with DCU up there in New Hampshire and Massachusetts. But at least we had a little bit of breeze, but it still was over 100 degrees on the golf course.
Yeah.
2 days. I mean, I felt like I lost 10 pounds.
Yeah, 108. 108 was the real feel out there, but got through it. Nobody dropped.
Everybody said the same thing. At least it's not raining.
Yeah, true.
And there's no thunderstorms.
Yeah, which is correct. All right. Jerry is back. Speaking of golf, he's rocking the Rock shirt. Love to see that. What's going on, Jerry?
Well, good morning to you guys. How are you? You guys had a lot with the Mets again in the first part again, so we'll do them second. I'll start with the Yankees because things not going good for them either. They led 3-0, like the Mets did, and then all of a sudden they weren't. Carlos Rodon goes 6 really good innings, 88 pitches. Then you bring in the bullpen, and things got away from them.
Runners take their leads. Here's the pitch. Breaking ball hit down into the left field corner. All kinds of trouble. Fair ball.
Yep.
Stevenson scores. Hines right behind him. Here comes Trevino. And Trevino slides in there safely. A bases clearing double ties the score at 3 apiece.
That's got to be sweet for Trevino, huh?
I would say so.
I would think so.
Susan's pregame interview the other night. So he's enjoying his time in Cincinnati. It was Dave Sims with the call here on the Fan. So 3-0, now 3-3. Push it ahead into the bottom of the 11th. The Yankees had a lead. The Reds tied it on a Spencer Steer RBI single, and then it was Gavin Lux.
Five infielders, four on the right side. Here's a 2-1 to Lux. The pitch, swing on, line drive, center field, base hit. De La Cruz walks home. Cincinnati wins 5-4.
You know what? Here's the one thing I noticed watching these games, and I never really thought about it until last night. Do you know where they have Pete Rose's jersey hung up?
I don't.
Do you know?
No, I've never been there.
All right, but you watch games.
So I did not watch.
And normally when you watch games, like you'll see numbers out on the wall or whatever and whatever. The Pete Rose jersey is in foul territory down the left field line. It's in the corner. You can't even see it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just silly at this point. We've gone over this.
People in Cincinnati and the Reds honored him. They love him, and they took care of him. And obviously, you know, now since his death, maybe he'll get into the Hall of Fame. And
coming up at 6:45, should Pete Rose be in the Hall of Fame?
No. I was just pointing out like where they put his jersey.
No,
it's in foul territory.
Yeah,
is that sending a message?
I don't know. Because they've welcomed him back there. They had a Pete Rose.
Of course they did.
In Cincinnati.
And they should have. Hey, by the way.
Yeah.
You know anything about loose bodies?
No, but I know it's a 7-millimeter loose body.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like a grain of sand running around in his elbow. He'll be fine.
Okay. All right.
Now it's just a loose body, not loose bodies.
Right.
It's one body.
It's a 7-millimeter loose body.
Okay.
Here's Aaron Judge.
One more thing on the Pete Rose. We didn't get to this yesterday, but Al had on the show sheet that A-Rod said that if Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame would have lived another 5 years or something, that's just self-serving for A-Rod. Because A-Rod just saying, like, you better start honoring me or I'm going to die early. That has nothing to do with how he feels about Pete Rose. He's just telling everybody, I will die if you don't start putting me into things.
Come on.
A-Rod is not looking at that yet. Could he?
How old is
A-Rod? 48?
Whatever. He's just telling you, when I get up to like 70-something, I'm going to die when I could have lived to 85.
Because
you idiots didn't honor me enough. I didn't get into Hall of Fames, didn't get the Monument Park, didn't get into anything.
Well, he had a weird, like, go-away day in the rain.
Yeah, that was very weird.
We've said this before, I was at Citi Field the same night. It was gorgeous out. And like 6 miles away, the monsoon over Yankee Stadium as he was getting his award, you know, the gifts they were giving him.
Send-away day.
Yeah, that was not a good night for him. Anyhow, it was, but it wasn't. Jazz Chisholm was ejected in this game in between innings in the ninth for a called strike on a 2-0 count on a pitch there. The Yankees have lost 9 of 12. Max Fried, Brady Singer will go tonight. As for those Mets and the loose bodies, you're talking about Sean Manaea. We'll get to him later. But in terms of the game, so you had Frankie Montas makes his Met debut. He goes out there, gives you 5 scoreless innings. The Mets are leading 3-0. All is good. Then enter Waskar Brazoban.
It's not just Brazoban. It's this entire Mets pitching staff. And that's low ball 4. They say Castillo up in the bullpen, and that's ball 4. So back-to-back walks by Brazoban to start this 6th inning. And he misses change up the ball 4. 3 straight walks have loaded the bases with nobody out.
And they all scored.
See, this is the thing that makes you want to throw up.
Yes, yes it does. I would agree with you. And before you would blink, the Braves had themselves a lead.
Here's the pitch. Swing and a liner to right field. That's a base hit. White is in. Harris around third. He's coming home to score. Going first to third is Allen. And on at first with a 2-run single is Matt Olson. 5 runs are in for the Braves.
And that's Howie Rose on Mets Odyssey Radio. A 5-3.
Hi, I'm Howie Rose.
Hi, Howie. No matter who plays first base for the Braves, they just kill us.
Yeah.
I mean, if you put Pete Alonso down there and he played first base for the Braves, he'd probably have like 20 home runs against the Mets.
Potentially. The Braves now 4 games under 500 as they are crawling their way back, 37-41. The Mets have lost 10 of 11, now 46-34. Here's Carlos Mendoza first. What was the issue with Brazoban?
He couldn't finish them. Missing glove side, the changeup a few times. Ball out of the hand. So he's been really, really good for us.
But not last night. He was awful.
Had a good lower half, though.
Good lower half. Ball out of the hand, yes. And then they did get Francisco Lindor up in the ninth inning, representing the tying run. Couple of guys on. He grounded out weakly to second base. 0-for-5.
You know what's amazing with the Mets, Jerry?
Yeah.
When they play the Braves,
they suck.
The Braves just wipe them out.
Yep.
But before they opened their series with the Braves the first time this year, they lost to Colorado 10-1. Then they swept the Mets, and then they lost 2 of 3 to Miami.
Yep. But they love the Mets.
And then they played the Mets, and then they won 2 of the first 4 That's in this series.
Correct. Clay Holmes makes the start tonight on Mets Odyssey Radio.
Well, it's been going on for 30 years now.
But, I mean, like, there should be a psychological...
You can change the names.
change the practice facility. It's the same stuff year in, year out.
I mean, you have 2 of the worst teams in baseball that won 3 games from them.
And what happened with your daughter again? My zoo was in my ear.
Oh, man. Yeah, and I really thought when the Mets won that first part of the doubleheader in September that this was over. No, it is not over. No. Sean Manaea, you guys discussing this at length. Cortisone injection Monday, expects to return to his minor league rehab assignment July 1 or 2. If that goes well, could potentially debut 5 or 6 days after that. So we could be looking at July 6th or 7th.
They're shooting him up. Love to see it. Get him out there. Bob Baffert style.
I suppose so. We do have the NBA draft tonight.
Now
the Hawks acquired Kristaps Porzingis, so the Celtics are wheeling and dealing. They send him in a 3-team trade to the Hawks. The Nets are involved
in this. Virus coming with them too?
Potentially. So now this is Drew Holiday and Porzingis.
Correct.
They have traded.
Yep.
Trying to save some money here.
Mm-hmm.
New ownership looking at what they're going to have to pay. They're big stars, and unfortunately for them, Jason Tatum is going to miss next year.
Terrence Mann and Atlanta's first-round pick go to the Nets. So the Nets pick at 8, 19, 22, 26, and 27. A lot of people wondering.
Or they trade all those picks to get Giannis.
Or move up in the draft. We'll see. Maybe Giannis. Here's Cooper Flagg. He's excited, likely to be going to Dallas tonight.
Situation that, you know, is able to win. Me on a team surrounded by, you know, a ton of incredible players and people that have, you know, had careers like they've had. I think it'll be a really great experience if that does happen.
I mean, double dribble by Cooper Flagg on this replay.
You really want them to call that?
Yeah, no way.
Are they going to call that on him in the NBA? No way, right?
Not a chance.
And by the way, the rest of the Eastern Conference, trading guys, getting ready for the season. You know, we have a draft tonight, and the Knicks don't have a coach.
That's true.
It is insane.
Or a pick.
They don't know what the they're doing. You understand that?
You understand that?
We all do understand that part of it, yes.
So I'll leave you with a couple of things here. One, Kyrie Irving going to decline his $43 million option for next season, instead opting to sign a 3-year, $119 million deal to stay all in Dallas. Okay. And the NBA champion Thunder had their parade in Oklahoma City. So News on 6 covered this. Leanne Taylor, I guess she's a reporter for them. She was quite excited to be there and to be a part of all of it.
And here comes another Thunder bus. Oh, my goodness. Oh, there's Isaiah right in the ground. He's doing his little dance. Oh, that looks fantastic. I am about to fall off this ramp. I promise you.
Right, that seems fine, right? Okay, not a big deal. Hey, guys, look at me. Hello.
Right here. Oh, I'm within this. I'm right here.
She wanted that.
There's J-Dub right there, guys.
She wanted that Don Julio 1942 that he was walking around with.
What you didn't see, because it's audio, is that she pulled her shirt off while
she
was going on.
Right here.
She did not do that.
My boys! Over here!
At one point, she was joined by, I guess, another reporter, Robin Marsh, as they see Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
I think it's SGA. Is it SGA? It might be. He's right behind the porta potty. There he is. SGA. Oh, my gosh. Robin!
Oh, my God. I mean, it's so small town. It is just
have some self-respect.
You know, good for them.
Yeah, and I was happy for Isaiah, though.
Hartenstein.
Yeah, I was happy for him. Man.
Coming up next hour, I will have audio from Aaron Rodgers, who was on Pat McAfee, because he just doesn't go away, although he says he's going to for 6 weeks. So I will get to that. Also, Matt Martin officially announces his retirement, but will work with the organization.
No, he's going to be a special assistant to their new GM, Matthew Darsh. And I think I would say this morning would be his first day on the job. And I think the first thing he's going to go in there and say is, we got to get rid of Casey Cizikas.
Yeah, guys have been dragging us down for years.
Let's just get rid of him.
Just a bad locker room presence, too.
Right. No, but actually, I'm very happy for him. And I know that John Ledecky was hoping this was going to happen. And certainly, we're all happy and good for him. And it's a way to stay in the game and do what you want to do. And the one thing I will say, since I've met Matt and talked a lot of hockey with him, the guy knows what he's doing. So hopefully this will be a really good start to the next chapter of his life.
Watching Matt do the things that he's doing with small children.
Yeah.
That's right. And I hear that, you know, Winnipeg, if this goes well, is interested in him being the general manager up there. So everybody boom pa and go visit Winnipeg. The Twins.
Sydney's not going to allow that to happen.
Winnipeg. Oh, it's a general manager job, though. I mean, come on, you can't turn that down.
Sydney kind of runs the NHL. No, but this is a great start for Matt, in all seriousness, and I'm very happy for him. I'm very happy for the Islanders and their future, because I think he really understands hockey better than people, because he's so quiet, you wouldn't even know it. But when you sit there and you talk to him about all the aspects of hockey, from salary cap, the players, playing type. You know, he's played with everybody from Steven Stamkos to Matthew Barzal and everybody in between. So these are, and Mitch Marner and Austin Matthews. So he's been around some great players, some great coaches. And, you know, I think he'll be a great fit for the Islanders.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Just talking about Matt Martin getting that special assistant to the GM job with the organization, with the Islanders, after officially announcing his retirement. Wanted to mention this to all the Islander fans and Long Islanders that listen, that there will be a draft party that the Islanders are hosting at UBS on Friday. And you can get tickets on Ticketmaster for $5 or in person, with all proceeds directly benefiting the Islanders Children's Foundation. So every dollar from the tickets purchased for this draft party are going to charity. Doors will open at 5, the draft starting at 7. Obviously, the Islanders with the number one overall pick, so it's going to be crazy. You can hear from Matthew Darsh at 5:30, a bunch of former and current players are going to be there. Ryan Pulock, Casey Zekas, J.G. Pageau, Scott Mayfield, Butch Goring, John Tinelli, and others. So it's going to be pretty cool, and you'll be able to have a big party for the number one overall pick if you're an Islander fan at UBS. So go and check it out.
There goes. I was supposed to play golf with Matt on Saturday. This goes back before he got this job.
Yeah.
He ain't playing on Saturday.
Yeah, good luck.
He's got to go to work now. Got
He's
a real job.
Got to go to work.
No more of this, you know, like half the year off and nothing. Now you got to go to work and you got to figure all this stuff out. And I would think that the Islanders are going to end up selecting Matthew Schaefer, a left defenseman, big kid, and, you know, projects as really a top end, you know, defenseman. And, you know, and I know James Higgins is a local kid, and I know that I believe he's an Islander fan.
Yes.
And he was hoping that maybe the Islanders would make him the number one pick. That's probably not going to happen, but, you know, who knows? There's a lot of strange things that can go on still, and the draft is right around the corner, and maybe the Rangers make a trade with one of these teams in the Western Conference, Chicago, Utah, Nashville, and maybe they get up and they select James Higgins.
Mm, you never know. All right, Dylan's in Connecticut, wants to talk some bets with us. What's going on, Dylan?
Boomer, Gio, what's going on?
Hey, man.
All right, Dylan, what's happening, brother?
This Shaman at his loose body and elbow. I feel again and again that the Mets organization is lying to us, and they're saying everything's fine, he'll be good to go. It just feels like the Grom 2.0.
Yeah, I mean, that was a weird one, though, and I know your negativity and your snowballing with everything and thinking about things in the past, because we've got these experiences as Mets fans. I don't think it's similar to that Jacob DeGrom had some weird stuff. The organization, Jacob DeGrom, were on different pages during that time.
And there was also a different organization.
Right. I mean,
this is a totally new organization.
Exactly.
Now.
I don't think that anybody's lying to you. I think that that's what they believe right now. Now, does that mean it's going to go the way that they think it's going to go? No. But they, with their experiences and the doctors, they think they can deal with this 7-millimeter loose body and get him out there and he can pitch. But, you know, the DeGrom thing, like the Mets thought he was fine. He wasn't fine. He felt something. He would go back out there. The Mets would see we didn't find something. I mean, that was one of the more bizarre things ever.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So they've changed the way that they do things.
Yeah.
And you just got to understand that teams are going to be really careful with these pitches. That's why everybody worries about pitch counts and everything else, so things like this don't happen. But again, as one of our doctor friends did text to us this morning, it's like, what's the underlying cause of this? What's causing like a loose body to show up?
Yeah, so sometimes, and what he was alluding to was sometimes when you go in there to get the loose body, you're like, oh, okay, we went to clean this thing out, now we're seeing something else.
If they decide to go in and get it.
Yeah, which they may not.
And then if they decide to go in and get it, it's not like you're coming back in 2 weeks.
No.
That's why they're saying they want to be conservative and they want to give him another minor league start. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you.
And the situation with their staff right now should not dictate what happens with Sean Manaea.
In June.
Right. Don't just do whatever you got to do to make sure that he's 100% healthy by the time he comes back. And that's why I worry about Senga, too, because if you remember, he was, you know, he's finicky as well. Maybe not as finicky as Jacob DeGrom, but like it takes him a while to start feeling good and being himself. And I remember last year was like, oh, you know, Senga looks good. He feels good, but he's not quite there, and the organization thinks he should be pitching, and he doesn't feel like himself yet. So, I mean, I don't know.
Hey, listen, I told you, they beat Colorado, they beat Washington, they beat Miami, they beat a lot of bad teams. And, you know, there was a, and this was when Juan Soto wasn't playing all that well.
Yeah, so when Juan Soto hits, nobody else does anything good. When Juan Soto doesn't hit, the rest of the team's great. Right. So that's been awesome.
We got a long way to go, but Mendoza's got to do something here.
What do you mean?
I don't know. He's got to throw some bats. He's got to like get after some people.
Throw some bats.
Make some people a little uncomfortable. And I know the franchise is doing that because they're taking guys that think that they should be up here and sending them back down to Syracuse. But that's really all they can do.
Yeah. Well, they could do the slump busting we talked about, which doesn't seem like they have.
But that's within the team itself. That's
they gotta figure that out.
That is not a directive from the manager.
It could be. You could float it out there.
You like, say the same thing about the Yankees. What's the amazing thing about the Yankees now?
The
Mets have already lost first place to the Philadelphia Phillies. The Yankees lead the Tampa Bay Rays by one game.
I know. Well, and then how about the Blue
Toronto,
Jays?
Toronto, 2.5 games, 2.5 games. And then the Red Sox, 6 games.
Tighten it up.
It's tight. It's very tight.
What do they say? Tight like a frog's butthole? Have you heard
that? I've never heard that.
Never heard that?
Have you ever heard that, Al?
I actually have heard that one.
Really?
Yep. Yeah.
Eddie, have you heard that?
Not really.
Yeah.
Not really?
No,
I've heard similar things, but not that exact animal.
Well, I mean, the reason they say that is because, you know, a frog's in the water, and if all the
it's
time.
Got to be airtight. You can say the same thing about a fish.
You know, the fish is moving. A frog's sitting there, you know?
Frogs leap all the time.
But if you're sitting there on a lily pad in the water,
yeah, but his,
and you got a loose butt.
If he's sitting on a lily pad, his butt is not in the water.
But it sits down, you know? It's still in a moist area. Yeah, watertight like a frog's butthole.
Watertight like a frog's butthole. Okay, I had not heard that. I'm sorry.
Wow.
But it just goes to show you kids out there that you can learn something new every day.
Yeah. Have you ever heard of winning is the deodorant of champions?
I've heard that many times.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.